Why should I forgive? It's a question that has been asked for at least 2,000 years. Peter asks it in our text this morning, found in Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? You notice that he's talking about repeated forgiveness. Have you noticed how much easier it is to forgive a one-time offense than it is to forgive continuous irritation? The fact is, every single one of us has in our life something that gets on people's nerves, something that irritates like a Brillo pad. Now, don't you be looking at each other. Notice, Peter says, "How many times shall I forgive who? My brother. My brother." Maybe he meant that literally. Because 90% of all resentment occurs in the family, the people we deal with daily. You know, to dwell above with the saints we love, won't that indeed be glory? But to dwell below with those we know, well, that's a different story. And so we get irritated and we have to learn to forgive. Maybe Peter was thinking of some specific incident. Perhaps his brother Andrew had some personality quirk that really got on Peter's nerves. And of course, Peter had a short fuse into the bargain. And I'm sure that Peter was thinking himself extremely magnanimous when he said, "Lord, am I to forgive my brother 7 times? He's expecting the Lord to say, "Oh, Peter, that would be so noble of you." Jewish law required that you forgive a person only 3 times. On the 4th time, you could just say, "Take a hike, pal. Get out of here. Forget it." And so Peter reminds the Lord, "Jesus, you know that the law says I'm to forgive him 3 times. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to double that, and then I'm going to add one more for good measure. I'll forgive him 7 times. And the Lord says, "No, Peter, no, Peter, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. The NIV translation is wrong here. It says 77 times. The best Greek texts obviously say 70 times 7. Of course, Jesus here, as in many other instances, is using hyperbole. He is not saying, "Peter, forgive exactly 490 times, but not 491. Clearly what he meant was, forgive without ever stopping. Be kind and patient and forgiving toward your brother always. There's no limit to the number of times you are to forgive people. Jesus is really pointing out here that if I'm keeping score, it isn't really forgiveness at all. Do you ever keep score? So our Lord tells a story to explain why we must learn to forgive. Here's a fellow who is hopelessly in debt to his king. And one day the king calls in all the accounts. Apparently this chap had mismanaged the king's resources. We might say that he was the Charles Keating of his day, misappropriating funds and through financial folly losing it all. He owed the king 10,000 talents. Do you know how much that is in today's terms? About $12 million. Now that's what we might call major debt. And in those days, of course, bankruptcy was quite simple. There was no chapter 11. The king simply said, well, we'll take your wife and your children and we'll sell them into slavery and we'll put you in the slammer until you pay up. It's just as simple as that. But the guy grovels before the king and pleads for mercy. Look at verse 26. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. This is hilarious. $12 million? Just give me a few days. You know that if he had paid $1,000 a day, it would take him 33 years to pay back his debt, not even counting the interest. There's no way he's going to repay it. No way. Now, from this story, Jesus gives us three reasons why we must learn to forgive other people. Will you note them down in your outline? First one is this. We must learn to forgive because I have been forgiven by God. Because I have been forgiven by God. Notice the king's response in verse 27. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. No strings attached. What a king! $12 million completely written off. But folks, let me tell you, that is nothing compared to the forgiveness of God which He has extended to us. You see, the Bible says that I owe a debt to God. I have sinned against Him, and that sin is so horrible in His eyes, and the resulting debt is so enormous that I could never repay it on my own. But God, in His infinite love, has chosen to forgive me, to wipe my slate clean, and to say, let's start all over again. That's the amazing good news, that God in Christ has paid my debt on Calvary, a debt that I never could pay myself. But here's the clincher. God expects me to do to others what He has done for me. And that's the message for today in a nutshell. He has forgiven all my sins, and that is a debt so big that I must always be eager to forgive others because God has been so good to me. Let me ask you, how would you feel if you had had a $12 million debt wiped out yesterday? How would you feel? Would you be a little more gracious to other people? I think you would. If it really sank in what that friend had done for you in forgiving that debt. You see, now get this. I believe the reason that so many people have such a hard time forgiving others is that they don't really feel forgiven themselves. Notice the servant's reaction in verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the poor fellow thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Can you imagine what this disgraceful ingrate is doing? He owes $12 million to his boss, and he has a friend who owes him 100 denarii. Do you know how much that is? $17. $17. And he says, "No way am I going to let you off." And he had him sent to jail. Why did he respond that way? Because deep down inside him, he didn't really feel that he had been forgiven himself. And so he is still foolishly trying to collect money, $17, to help pay off a $12 million debt. You know, my friends, I believe there are professing Christians who are living this way. They become believers and then they say, "Oh, I'm going to make it up to you, Lord. I know I blew it in the past, but I'm going to be scrupulous in keeping all the rules. I'm going to work my heart out for you so that you will see what a model Christian I really am." You know what God says to that bad theology? He says, "Relax, friend. Just cool it. You don't have to adopt that legalistic attitude. The debt has been paid." You see, they don't understand what grace is all about. And this fellow in the parable didn't understand grace. It hadn't really dawned on him that he had indeed been forgiven. Because when you really believe that you have been forgiven, you will forgive others. Always. Notice his harshness. He grabbed the man. He demanded that he pay him back. He began to choke him. And Roman law allowed you to do this to a debtor. You could literally try to squeeze it out of him. And he has the poor fellow thrown into jail for $17. Now, what's the point? Well, just you count on this. When you find someone who is hard and judgmental and unbending and demanding and unforgiving of others and critical and negative and ungracious when they discover that someone else has fallen into sin, you can count on one thing: that person is carrying unresolved guilt. When you find a censorious person who is always putting other people down, it is because he or she is carrying unresolved guilt. Always. Now here's the insight. When we feel unforgiven, we tend to be unforgiving. The ungraced person is the ungracious person. When you find parents who are demanding and rigid and overbearing, expecting perfection from their children, you know what they're doing? They're just revealing their own guilt as a parent. The frustration that comes from feeling inadequate for their job. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Here is the key to forgiveness. Recognize how much God has forgiven you and continues to forgive you every day. That's the key. And when I feel forgiven, I'm going to be forgiving. That's the first point. And then Jesus goes on to say that we need to be forgiving in the second place because resentment makes me miserable. Resentment makes me miserable. It's a hell on earth. It tortures you. Notice in verse 31 it says, "When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' His master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed." It's interesting, isn't it, that the master said, "Okay, if you're going to be unforgiving, I'm going to be unforgiving." So he hands him over to the jailer. And the word in Greek means torturer. Turn him over to the torturers. Whips and chains and racks and all that stuff. What's Jesus talking about here? Is this a symbol of hell? Yes, it is. But more than that, it's also a symbol of hell on earth. You see, when resentment infects your life, it incarcerates you, it tortures you, and it rids you of all your joy. It produces inner conflict, and it hurts you more than it hurts the other person, because they may be totally oblivious to the fact that you're still resenting what they did to you. Job 21, verses 23 to 25 says, I like this verse, "Some men stay healthy till the day they die. Others have no happiness at all. They live and die with what? Bitter hearts." Let me ask you this morning, is there a bitter memory that is robbing you of joy in the Lord? Is there? Is there an old hurt that you are still holding on to? What is the cause of that sharp stab of pain in your heart? Folks, believe me, it's not worth it. Let it go. I need to learn to forgive, not only because God has forgiven me, but for my own benefit. Resentment makes me miserable. You see, when you fail to forgive, God doesn't have to lock you up in jail. We do it to ourselves as we rehearse the hurt over and over and over again. Within driving distance of Faith Church, there are thousands of people who are enslaved by anger and anxiety, and they are tortured by resentment. And accepting the forgiveness of Christ is the key to unlock the jail. He can set us free. And so, for your own sake, forgive. Learn to ask forgiveness and learn to offer forgiveness. Doctors say that they could clear out almost most of our hospitals today if they could just teach people how to deal with their resentments and their guilt. You see, guilt is caused by what I have done to others. Resentment is caused by what others have done to me. The torture chamber is self-inflicted. So you need to enjoy God's forgiveness, and you need to employ God's forgiveness. Get that? You need to enjoy God's forgiveness, and you need to employ God's forgiveness. And then, in the third place, I believe we need to forgive others because I will need forgiveness in the future. I will need forgiveness in the future. Look at verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Now let me use a very homely illustration. Here are Tom and Mary, two children in a family. And Mary quarrels with Tom. And their father is grieved by their quarrel. So Mary is very unhappy. And so in tears, she goes to her father and she says, "Daddy, I'm so sorry. I can see that I have made you very unhappy. Daddy, I'm truly sorry. I don't ever want to do this again." And so her father picks her up and he hugs her. And while her head is on her father's shoulder, you know what that little creep is doing? She's sticking out her tongue at Tom behind her father's back. Unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Someone said to John Wesley once, "Oh, I could never forgive that person." To which Wesley replied, "Then, my friend, I hope you never sin." And Lord Herbert, that great English Christian, once wrote, get this, "He who will not forgive another has destroyed the bridge over which he himself must pass." Believe it. When we pray the Lord's Prayer as we did this morning, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," what are we saying? We're saying, "God, you forgive me as much as I forgive the people around me," which really means I can only receive what I offer to others. In Matthew 5:7, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown" what? Mercy, of course. Notice that it says in the parable that you must forgive others from your heart. It's not to be simply lip service, as in Mary's case. Not just intellectual forgiveness, but emotionally, you've got to let bitterness and resentment go. You've heard people say, "I'll forgive, but I could never forget." Oh, give me a break. That's not forgiveness at all. What is this parable teaching? It is teaching us that forgiveness is a way of life. Indeed, it's the only way to live, because you are going to be hurt in life and you are going to hurt others, because we are all sinful and imperfect. So we have to live in a constant state of both receiving and offering forgiveness, accepting God's forgiveness and offering our forgiveness to others because we belong to Jesus. That's it. Now the important question arises, is forgiveness really fair? Do you just let them get away with it? No, it's not fair. Nobody ever said that life is fair. But tell me, is it fair that God should forgive you and me? It's not fair or right that the offender should get away scot-free. Someone has to pay for it. A friend of mine tells how a lady came to him one day for counseling, and she poured out her heart. She was consumed with guilt as she told how several marriages had failed. She had had an abortion. And my friend shared with her how Christ could make a difference in her life and wanted to forgive her. He was waiting to cleanse and renew her life and remove this torment of guilt and shame. You know what she said? She said, "But Pastor, it's not fair. Somebody's got to pay for all the things I've done wrong. I shouldn't be allowed to get off scot-free. Somebody's got to pay." And my friend said, "Somebody has paid. His name is Jesus." That's what God came to earth to do. That's why He went to the cross. The Bible says that I owe a debt to God, a debt so big that I could never repay it in a billion years. So what did God do? He paid it Himself in full. And we just need to accept His forgiveness by faith in Jesus. I don't have to go around nailing myself to a cross all the time, because Jesus was nailed to the cross in my place. Do remember, forgiveness is free, but it's not cheap. It cost Jesus Christ His life. And forgiveness can only occur when the person who has been offended volunteers to assume the hurt. That's what Jesus did when He bore our sins in His body on the tree. And likewise, you can only forgive when you volunteer to assume the hurt yourself, to not retaliate, to not try to get even, to not seek revenge, but rather to say, "I'm going to absorb it, and I'll leave the rest to God." So ask yourself this final question. Do I need to forgive anyone? The Bible says I need to because I've been forgiven by God, and resentment makes me miserable, and I'm going to need more forgiveness in the future. So the question is, what do I need to forgive? Now perhaps you say, "Well, Pastor, to tell you the truth, I can't think of anyone I need to forgive today." Well, folks, I've designed a little test for you to stimulate your memory. Part one I call the blame test. And the blame test goes like this. Do you blame anybody in the world for something? Well, if my husband would only get committed, then I could be a dynamic Christian. Or if I only had a different boss. Or life would be so much better if my family would just let me live my life myself. Life would be so much better if my wife wouldn't, if my mother wouldn't, if my children wouldn't. Is this an indication of resentment that needs to be dealt with, friend? Is it? And then part two I call the bitterness test. The bitterness test. And it goes like this. Have I been keeping score over the years of my ministry? I have counseled couples where one partner made a major mistake and the other partner kept holding it over that spouse's head for years. And no matter what the offender did, it was all in the nature of repayment. And no matter how good that partner would be, the attitude of the offended party was, they owe it to me. And the offended party often kills the marriage by this horrible spirit of bitterness and unforgiveness, holding that person hostage, never letting them off the hook until they say, what's the use? I could never repay. And many a marriage would be saved if that offended party would genuinely forgive and start all over again in a spirit of Christian trust. And so, my friends, we really have only two options in dealing with our hurts. Get this. We can either rehearse them or we can release them. I can rehearse them, thinking of ways to get even, ways to retaliate, or I can release them and experience God's forgiveness through Christ in my own life, and then offer that forgiveness to those who have hurt me. And that's why I must learn to forgive. Let's bow our heads. Perhaps some of you need to go home and make a list of people you need to forgive. You need to forgive them in front of God, and then you need to write it off. Just write it off. Maybe you will need to go and make some restitution. Maybe you need to tell someone, I'm never going to bring this issue up again, and I will not hold it against you anymore because God has forgiven me so much. No one will ever hurt you or me more than we have hurt God. And He has forgiven us, so we need to forgive others. On top of that, God says, and you and I know that resentment just makes us miserable. And then we're going to need forgiveness in the future also. So pray this prayer, will you? Dear God, I need your forgiveness. Help me to understand how much you love me and how much you have forgiven me, even me. I ask you to forgive all the things I've done wrong, and I ask you to forgive me for being unforgiving toward others. If someone comes before your mind at this moment, then just name that person specifically before the Lord in your heart right now. Lord, today, I want to let go of all resentment and bitterness toward that person.